This week, the IRS commissioner came to Kansas City, and I visit St. Louis for the local congressional liaison meeting.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
This week, I attended several meetings in Missouri with the IRS that I want to share with you. Earlier this week, Monday through Wednesday, IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig and Chief Counsel Michael Desmond were in Kansas City Monday through Wednesday, and I was able to meet with them Tuesday evening. Tuesday from 5 to 6, and then it went late. I was part of a group invited by the local stakeholder liaison to meet with them. They did some talking about their current work. It sounds like they put in quite long work days trying to get things taken care of within the IRS. That Commissioner Rettig started out by saying that he proudly works for the IRS. He wants to emphasize that each time that he is proud to work for the Internal Revenue Service, that he does not say the Department of the Treasury or the government, that specifically the Internal Revenue Service, and that they are responsible for providing 95% of the United States gross revenue that is generated by the Internal Revenue Service, with 83% compliance by the public. So he does want to continue to build on public support for the IRS, that losing public support means quite a bit of a shift in revenue generated for the United States, for the government. So it is worth keeping public confidence with the IRS and their mission, what they do throughout the year. He spoke about Michael Desmond and Tom, who is the counsel to both of them, that they have known each other for 20 plus years, and they are completely free to disagree with each other. They put in quite a bit of time together. Commissioner Rettig mentioned that he wants to do movement in helping English as a second language, low-income, unrepresented veteran and military taxpayers, because those are several of the people within his life that are in those areas. He wants to look at taxpayers through those eyes and how they are affected. So wants to bring additional help to those areas. He wants to work on a strong, visible, robust enforcement, both civil and criminal. Ken, who is the Commissioner of Wage and Investment, talked about that the IRS is on track with where they were last year, that they have caught back up from the government shutdown. They're taking input and going to tweak the Form 1040 for next year. They are working on the 1040-SR. They say that is for seasoned taxpayers, so do not necessarily call them seniors. And they're working on revising Form W-4. That is talked about being revised within the next year as well. He also mentioned the balance of preventing fraud from scammers and those individuals and people who are trying to work for taxpayers, trying to get transcripts. So one of the compromises is that within e-services, there is a secure depository for people who are already working with the IRS, who are on record with helping taxpayers. When Commissioner Rettig was speaking, he also wanted to let people know that FEMA does not have their own phone lines. So when there are disaster times, the IRS often takes over handling phone calls for people dealing with disasters. So that is one item that causes delays in phone calls for people who are trying to work with the IRS on tax matters, that it is not largely publicized that the IRS is taking phone calls assisting FEMA people, but that is something that they're doing that they are not receiving extra budget money for, but different IRS workers try to assist disaster victims in that manner. it is something that generally for people to cut them some slack when there have been long delay times in talking to IRS people, that perhaps it was because they were assisting disaster victims in the same time. Now, I also got to speak to both Commissioner Rettig and Michael Desmond privately. I feel at this point that I could comfortably call Commissioner Rettig Chuck, but he does say that he will be returning to Kansas City, and I hope that I can speak to him some at the ABA Tax Conference, the May meeting in Washington, D.C. coming up soon. He is the plenary luncheon speaker for that Saturday luncheon. But one thing I wanted to mention is that Commissioner Rettig is open to assisting the low-income taxpayers, and he was saying to me that he would like to talk more, see what can be done to assist low-income taxpayers. So I would like to speak with him more in the future, and perhaps we can make that happen. In speaking with Michael Desmond, I want to see if he can address the low-income taxpayer clinic conference, and I think we can make that happen. So I'm going to try and put that in the works. Now, they were there for 3 days in Kansas City. I know they spoke to different people at the Kansas City campus and thanked them for their service. I was hearing that several people brought their children. They wanted to get them to meet Commissioner Rettig and thank him personally for what he's doing with the IRS. I believe Commissioner Rettig was scheduled to meet with some people at H&R Block, so it is good that there are these different connections within Kansas City that can be built, and hopefully some positive change can come within Kansas City that will affect tax policy for the rest of the country. But I was only able to meet with them for that period of their time in Kansas City. The next day, Wednesday of this week, that was April 17, and I went from one end of Missouri to the other. That I went to St. Louis for the Congressional Liaison Meeting. Within that meeting, that was organized by the Taxpayer Advocate Service within Missouri, so Desiree Frierson and Danielle Douglas. Desiree is in Kansas City and Danielle in St. Louis. So to give you a rundown of what happened during that day, they opened the event. Then we had an individual from the Lead Development Center with Small Business and Self-Employment who spoke about abusive transactions. An individual from TIGTA, which is the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, from that office. Felicia Dixon with the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel. Then representing the low-income taxpayer clinics, Daniel Kempland, the supervising attorney at Washington University School of Law. His low-income taxpayer clinic, he had a presentation, and then I spoke a little bit following that just to talk about the differences between our clinics and what I am doing within Kansas. There was a presentation by an individual within collections about liens and levies, and then the Taxpayer Advocate Service finished the day's meetings by talking about the Taxpayer Advocate Service websites and the National Taxpayer Advocate Nina Olson, her annual report to Congress, highlighting different issues for the congressional liaisons. On Thursday, April 18, I went to the Alliance for Economic Inclusion meeting, and our local stakeholder liaison was there in a panel about identity theft. The main focus in her presentation was on selecting proper professional ethical tax preparers and what you should be looking for in finding a good tax preparer. So she was part of a panel with the Better Business Bureau, the Kansas City Police Department, and an attorney from the Federal Trade Commission. And each of them gave different tips and advice on how to spot and identify and what to do about identity theft. Now, I'm going to circle back to the abusive transactions and TIGTA presentations. I think the collections presentation on liens and levies, I can probably expand to its own episode, but I was going to highlight what within the abusive transactions regarding promoter and preparer investigations, that presentation began with a focus on tax schemes, that these produce tax benefits not allowed by the Internal Revenue Code. The term generally includes any partnership, trust, investment plan, or other entity or arrangement that is used or is designed to be used to obtain tax benefits that are not allowed under the Internal Revenue Code. So considerations for the Lead Development Center are that they are abusive in nature, provide significant harm to the government, the compliance impact on the public, the current activity, and tax law violations. So within these considerations, they're not just looking at the amount of money involved, but also the reach of abusive transactions. Are these issues that are local, regional, or national in scope? That may be another consideration for them. He spoke about the current top issues are abusive Schedule A deductions, false or inflated business income or deductions, sham businesses for individuals, various miscellaneous credits, and the earned income tax credits. That promoters are tax return preparers, salespersons, representatives, appraisers, attorneys, or sellers of legal opinions. Within the Internal Revenue Code, there are penalties with Section 6700 for promoters and Sections 6694, 6695, and 6701 for preparers. That injunctions are provided under Section 7402 for everyone, 7407 for preparers, and 7408 for promoters. Abusive transactions. Typical schemes include promises to eliminate or substantially reduce tax liability, whistleblowers, consumer protection, parallel investigations with about 100 specially trained agents, that investigations are authorized by the Lead Development Center, that they do not necessarily have to be based off a tax return. There are 900 investigations, about 85% are preparer-related. Other abusive transactions include conservation easements based on overvaluation of real estate, microcaptive insurance, that is more about investment and estate planning than it is for risk management, insurance, and the research and experimentation credit. Potential outcomes from the investigations are that there are no action, civil penalties, injunctions, penalties and injunctions, suspension or termination of the EFIN, a criminal investigation, or action by the Office of Professional Responsibility. Within 2019, there was the Dirty Dozen list of tax scams for 2019. Those include phishing, phone scams, identity theft, return preparer fraud, inflated refunds claims, falsifying income to claim credits, falsely padding deductions on returns, fake charities, excessive claims for business credits, offshore tax avoidance, frivolous tax arguments, abusive tax shelters, and out of those, 8 are related to preparers or promoters. So those are return preparer fraud, identity theft, inflated refund claims, falsifying income to claim credits, falsely padding deductions on returns, excessive claims for business credits, frivolous tax arguments, and abusive tax shelters. Now, turning to the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, TIGTA, that group, they were internal security for the IRS, but now they're a separate agency. They have 250 agents nationwide, that they receive most of their work from external sources. They handle threats, 1 or 2 a week, to suicide threats. So they will open up a complaint and build that into an investigation, working with local law enforcement, the FBI, and NCIC. That one example is a sovereign citizen. Those individuals often will recognize the local sheriff, but not the federal government. So some of them, it may be easy to tell if they have a mental illness or not, but it is necessary to get an armed escort to deal with those people. That some of them often have guns, they may be ex-military or part of a militia. So it is necessary to make sure that the revenue officer and the taxpayer are safe. TICTA is trained as armed escorts. If they see the criminal activity, the IRS will back out and, or also TICTA will back out and let local law enforcement take over. If there are recurring tax issues and criminal history, then that is an indicator of someone that they would focus on. Caution indicators include if a person makes a suicide call or a threat, if a person is being impatient about the refund and it is taking too long, they may contact the Taxpayer Advocate Service to assist. People who are working need to be honest if they also received unemployment benefits. TICTA works with states to see who is getting unemployment because that will be investigated. For example, IRS employees who received unemployment during the government shutdown will have to pay that back. But if someone is working on a payment plan, TICTA would not be prosecuting those individuals. They also talked about the IRS impersonation scams, that there are call centers in India that are making millions but paying workers low wages, that they are often spoofing the IRS in caller IDs. That is where they make a phone call and caller ID will show a different number than what is actually being used. So it will say it may be an actual call from the IRS or a sheriff's office making those harassing calls. That one example he mentioned was calling a local sheriff's office and saying that someone was armed and dangerous. Basically, I don't know if they mentioned that they had hostages, but basically a SWAT team went out to investigate, and thankfully they realized that it was a false call and no one was hurt. But these are some of the issues that, because people are trying to steal money, they can also do some other crimes that are pretty dangerous. Now, TICTA is not actively investigating every loss. They're just looking at losses of $5,000 or more. They cannot extradite in India, but they're often arresting the runners in the United States. They're sending money or other items from one place to another, delivering the money. And there are still times when they're sending money or people to stores for gift cards. LA and Miami are hotbeds for runners, that those people delivering money from one place to another. So those are people that are targeted to get arrested within the United States. To break down some of these IRS impersonation scams that are going on and to protect the public. He also talked about the third-party collection agencies, that several of them receive threats over the phone, that they realize that people get frustrated, but they have to investigate the various threats of violence that are made, and they treat the third-party collection agencies just as if they are IRS employees that need to be protected against violence. So this was some of the IRS activity going on within Missouri during the last week, and I wanted to report on that. I do want to circle back around to the lien and levy presentation about collections, so perhaps that will be the next episode, but should follow up with that soon. Thank you for listening. I hope you appreciated some of this news from the IRS activities within the state of Missouri. I realize I am within the state of Kansas, but I am just on the border, so able to attend different of these events, and wanted to report on them back to you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors. for another interesting tax discussion.